Well, I'd like to give a warm word of welcome to everyone that is viewing over our webcast this evening. It's somewhat of an unusual meeting tonight as we meet for the Lord's Day services. And certainly for me, it is very unusual. We usually give everyone in the church a warm word of welcome first, and then we turn to sermon audio. But tonight we're solely concentrating on those on sermon audio. And so I certainly ask you to bear with us as we try to get through that. If I ask you to stand to sing, you'll maybe forgive me for doing that or tell you to sit down. But anyways, let us begin. And I would ask you, if you're at home and have a hymnal, do, or watch the words online, but do sing the words of the hymn. That's exactly what I did this morning, as we did as a family when we tuned in. When the words come up, we sang as a family, and it gave us a great thrill to think that other families throughout the world were singing along with us. And the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and certainly that's what we want to do today. We don't want to forsake that, but even over the internet we can indeed gather together. So I'll ask you all to join in as we turn in our hymnal to number 610, How Firm a Foundation. Thank you. Thank you. Our brother James this morning pointed us to Psalm 91, and you know it is a good psalm to read. It is a psalm that I have been looking much at ever since this crisis that we're in began. Psalm 91 and Psalm 46 is two of the greatest psalms, and it is two psalms that I have been looking at and claiming the promises of God. And we as believers, this is our time to shine, and there is a great need for prayer. And we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our medical staff, our hospitals. We need to pray for our governments that they act in the right way and that God would overrule in the affairs of men. You know, in my Bible reading this morning, I want to share this verse with you before I open in prayer. And it is Psalm 55. And as I made my way down through the psalm, the verse 22 really come home to me. And the Lord is saying here, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So we need to lean upon the Lord, and we need to call upon him and to plead these promises before the throne of grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, that we have thee to turn to in a time of crisis. We thank you, dear God, that we can depend upon thee and that thou art an ever merciful God. Lord, we do bring this meeting before thee tonight, and I ask, dear God, that you would help. And Lord, that you would be pleased, O God, to use thy servant, Dr. Saunders, Lord, as he has prepared a message. Lord, I pray, O God, that you would use that word. And Lord, that you would carry it home to needy hearts. And Lord, we know that there's many in great fear, even at this time. But Lord, we as the people of God, we have no need to fear, because we have thee. And we have the promises of God. And we know that our God is in control of all things. And I pray earnestly that you would strengthen, dear God, every believer, and that you would make them strong in the Lord, and that you would help them at this time, Lord, to shine, and Lord, to be there for others. And Lord, I pray, O God, that thou would give us a good testimony before this wicked and cruel world that we live in. I do pray, Lord, that your protecting hand would be upon, Lord, this church. I pray, O God, that you would be pleased to watch over every member of our congregation, that you would watch over our school, that you'd be with every teacher, every parent, every student. I pray, my Lord, that you would help our government, O God, as they are in the center of this crisis. And Lord, they're running around not knowing what to do, perhaps at times. Lord, but we pray that you would be pleased to put it within them to do that which is right. And Lord, that you would steer them aright, and that you would help those that is in authority over us, O God, to make good decisions. So Lord, we look to you for guidance. I pray, Lord, for our hospitals, O God, that I know that they are in the front line. And they are exposed, O God, to this virus, O Lord, that is causing this havoc. And Lord, I pray that you would protect them, that you would watch over them, and that you would give them strength and wisdom. Lord, be with our doctors, our nurses, our ambulance people, Lord. O God, our paramedics. Lord, undertake for them and help them, O God, as they, Lord, struggle, O God, even to keep up. We think of other nations, Lord, throughout this world, and I think in particular, Lord, of Italy. I pray, Lord, that you would bring ease to that nation, that you would help them, O God, at this time. Lord, they are in the center of a really huge crisis. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would undertake for them. Help those hospitals, Lord, that are overwhelmed. And Lord, they don't know what road to go down, Lord. They don't know which way to turn. But Lord, I pray, O God, in the midst of all this, Lord, that they would turn to God. Oh, that our people would turn to God. Lord, I ask, O Lord, that you would awaken the people, O Lord, even especially of this land of Canada, in a time of crisis, Lord, that they would turn to thee. So, Father, be pleased to do that. Oh, God, I pray that you be one of our number this night, that you would help others in our congregation that are ill, O God. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and undertake for them. And, Lord, that they would know the very presence of God with them. So, Lord, we commit this meeting unto thee now, asking your blessing upon it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps we could ask you now to turn to another hymn, and that hymn number is 238, How Sweet and Awful. So we'll ask you to turn to that hymn and to sing unto the Lord. Thank you. Perhaps now we could turn for our Bible reading. Our Bible reading this evening, is Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Let us read the Word of God. We will start at the verse 12 and we'll read through verse 32. It says, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him, by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his own divine word. Perhaps at this time we could do the announcements. And of course there is, as you are well aware, there is no services throughout this week because of this COVID-19 virus that has hit us so hard, and we are trying to contain it. And therefore there will be no public meetings throughout this week that we are in. Pastor Sanders will be preaching from home today and the next week, because himself and his wife are in self-isolation for the next 14 days because they have been out of the country, and therefore they are in a voluntary self-isolation at this time. You can see the bulletin and the announcements, of course, is all online, and I will be going over some of them in a moment. But of course, if anyone have any need within our congregation, do not hesitate to contact either Pastor Sanders or any one of the elders. We would be glad to help. You're not alone in this, and we are here to help you and to assist you in whatever way that we can. And of course, be sure to pray for us at this time and for the global emergency, that God would glorify his name through all of these things. And if anyone, of course, is not getting the congregational emails, please sign up. The email address will be on our webcast, and of course you can go through that and sign up for that, and you will then receive those necessary announcements of what is taking place. Now, at this time, of course, we want to give our deepest sympathy to our brother Donald and Regina, and their son David, in the loss of Regina's mother. And she was called home even this week. And we do want to continue to keep this family in prayer, and ask you all to pray for them at this time. Now, I want to read out just some communication from our executive committee of the Free Presbyterian Church. And if you just bear with me, I will read that out to you. Now, this is a summarized version of it. Now, the moderator convened an emergency meeting of the executive committee to address the seriousness of pressing issues related to COVID-19 emergency. So the EC adopted the recommendation for all sessions to suspend services until at least April 4th. Churches that can live stream without people in attendance may certainly make whatever plans they can. Other churches may encourage their members and attendees to view webcasts of other Free Presbyterian churches as they are able. So the EC urges people to pray for the Lord's purposes to be accomplished in this period of crisis, and to use caution, especially concerning our people who are at a high-risk categories from this pandemic. Other announcements are Dr. McClellan has emailed you all out the third edition of Bits and Pieces, as it has been entitled. This is a random collection of views and news from around the world, and that people are making comment of. So I do urge you to take the time to read that. And then, of course, there's the prayer request, and then we are now focusing on the Orlando Church at this time, so you can read down through those prayer requests that have been made. And then I would like to remind all the young people, as of yet, the Free Presbyterian Youth Camp will be is still planned to go ahead on the 18th of July. And of course, if any of young people between the ages of 13 to 18, this is a great time to know God's blessing. And I would ask you to please sign up for that. And if you want to phone our brother Jonathan McIndally, he will certainly take you through that and get you signed up for that as soon as possible. And don't forget the special prayer requests of those that are listed before thee, and you can pray over them and pray for our seniors at this time, as we know those that are in poor health and those that have breathing problems of any sort, and particularly our elderly, are very vulnerable at this time. So do keep them in prayer. And I think these is all the announcements of this time. And we will sing another hymn at this time, and I would ask you to turn in your hymn book to 616, 616. And 616. Now I'm going to hand the meeting over to our pastor, Dr. Saunders. Of course, this is a pre-recorded message that he did from his own home. And so I would ask you now just to listen carefully to the Word of God as our pastor preaches. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight for our evening webcast service. My name is Larry Saunders, pastor of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, and I'm bringing you this message from my home, where I'm under self-quarantine for 14 days due to travel. Of course, those listening now will know the reason for such measures. The pandemic virus known as coronavirus 19, or as it has been tagged, the COVID-19. Now, the events triggered by this viral outbreak have not been experienced by this generation, nor the previous one. While there have been virus outbreaks over the past 100 years, the most deadly being the Spanish flu of 1918 that claimed between 50 and 100 million lives, this particular attack has spread quickly around the globe because travel between countries has happened at a much faster rate, and this particular virus is more infectious than others. Having said all that, it means that we are today experiencing something that generations before us in the most recent history have not. All this means that we are experiencing emergency measures unlike any other to stop the spread and limit of sickness and death. During such times, we need to be diligent. It's not a time for carelessness or indifference. We all must take extra precaution to protect ourselves, our families, our congregations, our neighbors. And while we take these proactive steps, we must also remember that our God is sovereign and our lives are in His almighty hands. As we deeply consider these events, I want to turn tonight to the Word of God to comfort and challenge your heart that God is able for every human condition, every human disease, and nothing takes Him by surprise. His hand is not shortened, nor is it weak to help in every time of need. Though Moses' problem was not a virus, he did face a problem which led him to say, "I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me." I want to turn your attention, please, to Numbers chapter 11 and verse 23. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short?" God is asking a question. You know, to this statement and other questions of Moses, God Himself has something to say, and this verse contains it in the question that the Lord asked. And I pray that tonight, as we deal with these circumstances around us, as we have to confess sometimes our lack of faith, our unbelieving hearts, and our ungrateful questioning, that we will learn to trust in the Lord no matter what situation arises. Would you notice, please, firstly, the human impossibility that faced Moses at that time? This question of Moses from God came relatively early in his ministry. The tabernacle was now completed and dedicated just 2 years after leaving Egypt. His congregation was about 2 million. It was the inaugural journey of the people, which lasted 3 days when the tabernacle had been set up. Then in chapter 11, we are confronted with these words, "And when the people complained, the Lord heard their complaint. He was displeased. It angered Him. And the Lord judged them with fire until Moses prayed for the people." Now, while the smoke was still rising, in verse 4 of chapter 11, there was a mixed multitude that fell a-lusting. And the word really means they lusted a-lust, saying, "Who will give us any flesh to eat?" In verse 5, they said, "We remember the fish and the vegetables of Egypt." But they forgot the bondage and the whip. Their complaint turned to weeping as they willfully refused the supply God provided and lusted for the flesh pots of a former life. Ah, my friends, we must be very careful here where we seek our fulfillment in life. Do not turn again, Christian, to the world, the flesh, and ultimately the devil. When we become dissatisfied with God and with what He has given to us, we're in danger of running after the very thing that will be our destruction. If we continue to yearn for that which is against God's purpose in our lives, beware that He may grant us our request. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, "Israel might have unprayed her prayers had she known what would come with their answer. The prayer of lust will have to be wept over. We fret and fume till we have our desire, and then we have to fret still more because the attainment of it ends in bitter disappointment." But the cry and weeping of the people for flesh to eat is going to be granted by God, and He is angered by their blatant tempting of His grace and provision. "Who shall give us any flesh to eat?" they said. The Lord responds, "You will have flesh to eat, but not for one day or two, a whole month, and so much so that it will come out of your nose." In other words, their gluttonous rebellion will cause them to be sick in their stomachs, and that which they so long for will turn to their demise. Yes, this promise of an overabundant supply of flesh God will give by way of judgment. The people lusted, they complained, they moaned, and rather they charged God with indifference, to the point that he determined to give them their heart's desire and plenty of it. We are told in Psalm 106, verse 15, relating to this account, that God gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their souls. Some commentators say it could also be translated fullness, which really lines up with Psalm 78, another historical account of the same time. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. So both words, leanness and fullness, refer to the outcome when someone's greed and gluttony for sensual satisfaction take over and distort the real good and the lasting joy. That can only be found, my friend, in submission to the living God and his providential supply. When Moses hears of this provision, he begins to calculate by human accounting how so many people would be fed. And again, in his weakness and short-sightedness, he limits God by his own view, failing to remember what God had done and how Moses himself had witnessed the work in Egypt and at the Red Sea. It is against this human impossibility that God asks the question, is the Lord's hand become short? Listen, my brother and sister, tonight. What is your impossible situation? What is your impassable mountain? What is the maze from which you cannot extricate yourself? The hand of our great God is not limited. He is not bound by any restriction that binds our minds. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come to him. Believer, it is madness on our part to limit God by our perception and thereby restrict that hand that is greater than 100 worlds. Hear the words of John Calvin. He said, "The promises of God do not exceed the measure of his power. And what God has promised us, he is well able to supply." How foolish we are when we doubt the Lord. How foolish we are when we go against his clear words. My friend, I speak this word to you tonight. If you are unsaved, if you don't know the Lord, if you've tuned in by accident, or you're listening with a family gathered around the computer or the television watching this internet presentation, among all the human impossibilities that can face a man, there is nothing greater than this. How can a sinful man come into the presence of a holy God? All of us are born in sin. We are shaped in iniquity. If we're left in our sin, we're going to be cast off and into a lost eternity. So how is it that a sinful human being can come into the presence of a holy God? Because after we have tried everything, we are left to conclude, there is no way. I cannot climb the sheer face of God's perfect righteousness. I cannot offer that perfect sacrifice for my sin in order to be accepted into heaven. No, friend, you cannot. But to this impossibility, God responds, "Is my hand weak so that I cannot save?" To this greatest of questions, God says in Isaiah 43, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." With men, all of this would be impossible, But not with God, my friend, for with the Lord, nothing is impossible. Please notice with me, secondly, God's gracious and gentle response to his doubting servant. Yes, Moses questioned. Yes, he doubted. Moses was guilty of what I'll call brazen unbelief in questioning whether such a crowd could be fed with meat. But the Lord understands his servant's fainting fit, and he asks him, "Is the hand of the Lord short? Has it become weak, Moses? Do you not remember?" The burden was great, for Moses was forgetting the promise God had given him. He looked to his surroundings and the humanness of his dilemma and exclaimed, "I am not able to bear this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Moses tells God, 'Kill me.'" This was a low time in the life of this spiritual giant. Have you ever been there? Have you been down at the very bottom and you don't think there's any way up, any way out? Maybe we have to admit we have been there all too frequently. Moses, what about Egypt? What about Pharaoh? What about the Red Sea? What about the meeting that you had with God at the burning bush? You know, even the best of saints can lose focus and be overwhelmed by their situation. Believer, in this, the Lord reminds us that in our doubting times, let us remember the day we were saved. What about the great change that happened in our life that was so evident to family and friends? What about those private prayers that we have prayed and they were answered publicly? What about all the provisions that God has given in the time of our need, countless blessings, and the Lord pours out upon us every day? And what about, the Lord would say to us, "My guiding and protecting hand, delivering you from 1,000 dangers seen and unseen"? But then the Lord says to us, "What about my Son that I gave for your eternal salvation? I spared not my own Son, but I gave him up to die on a gruesome cross to pay the price of your sin. How shall I not with him freely give you all things? Is my hand unable to save? Am I unwilling to come to your aid in the time of your greatest need?" This is God's answer to our human impossibilities. The hand of God is not short. He is not powerless. He is not restrained. He is not limited. Psalm 95, verse 5. "The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." Joshua 4, verse 24. "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Isaiah 41 and 20, "That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." Are you unable to reach out and receive this promise tonight? We are often restrained, you know, by a reach too short for an object too far. We've all found ourselves in such a condition when the thing needed is just beyond our reach, and no matter how much we stretch to try to get it, we just cannot grasp it without some other assistance. But this is never the case with God, for he is our God, the God of creation, the God of salvation, and nothing is outside his reach. All things are in his hands and not out of his control. Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." Friend, are you in God tonight? Do you know him as your Lord, your Savior? Is Christ in your heart and life? Are you trusting him? Notice, please, finally, the definite answer that was given in verse 23. God said to Moses, "Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." Do you have any doubt, Moses? Doubt no more, for I will reassure you again that what I say I am able to do, and nothing can restrain my hand. It's interesting to note the first time this phrase, the hand of the Lord, appears. It is in Exodus, dealing with the plagues upon Egypt in chapter 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the second time is when Israel complained about food just after the destruction of Pharaoh and his armies. In Exodus 16, verse 3, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So they charge God foolishly. So not only was Moses going to see the power of God and the certainty of his word, so were those who tempted God with foolish complaints. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Oh, friends, let us draw from this word that God has given to his servant Moses. Let us be reassured tonight that his hand is not weak, that the Lord is an all-powerful and omnipotent God in control of every earthly issue. Yes, in control of COVID-19. Let us not fear. Let us trust in him. And as we conclude this message tonight, let us beware of looking at our circumstances and judging God's inability by it. Let us beware of complaining and tempting God with foolish statements or prayers. He may just answer them and give us the prayer that we wish we had never prayed. We are always within reach of the sovereign hand of our heavenly and loving Father, who may need to take us by the scruff of the neck sometimes to restrain our silly actions. Let us also know that God's generosity is abundant, giving us again and again and again. And then, friends, let us remember that the Lord's hand is mighty to save and to keep forever, and therefore live in the confidence of his eternal word. And so tonight, if you are not saved, you can be sure that God's hand is strong enough to save you. Save you from your sins, save you from everlasting death, save you for eternity. And believer, as we have entrusted with God our everlasting soul, let us be certain to trust him with every need in this life, and not to cast ourselves down by doubt and fear and uncertainty. For we serve a risen Savior, we serve a loving Savior, and a God that knows us and that loves us. May God bless his own precious word to our hearts tonight. May the Lord bless you, and may you know the joy and peace of Christ in your home, in your workplace, and wherever a providence leads you.
We do indeed thank our pastor, Pastor Saunders, for that very timely word. And can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And of course we know that he can. He has proved that time and time. And so we would ask you to lay those words upon your heart. And we now have a closing hymn. And a closing hymn is hymn number 125, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. So it's hymn 125. We would ask you all to sing along as best that we can. Let us bring our meeting to a close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your presence. I give you thanks for your word and for the great promises of God. Lord, we know that thou art able. And Lord, we pray, my Lord, that you would strengthen believers, O God, throughout this world, that they would shine in such a time of crisis. I pray, O Lord, that you would fill every believer with the Holy Spirit and help them to be strong and to fear not. O God, undertake for them in every way. And Lord, we have entered into a week and we truly don't know what it will bring forth. But praise God, we speak with a God that knows all things. Yea, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. And Lord, that whatever challenge that we meet throughout this week, we pray that our God would be with us and not to strengthen us. Help us, O God, to lean upon thee, to trust in thee, to obey thee. O God, be with every believer now. O Lord, as we would go our separate ways, we pray that the Spirit of God would be with each one of us, today, yea, and forever. Amen.